produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings in the precious and the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Evangelist Granville Alexander from South Africa. Today I want to speak to you about preach the word. Preach the word. The Duke of Wellington was once present where a party of Christian men were of success in ministry. Effort among the heathen. They appealed to the Duke to say whether in his judgment such efforts were likely to succeed, proportionate to the cost. The old soldier replied, "Gentlemen, what are your marching orders? Success is not the question for you to discuss. If you read your orders aright, they run like this. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Gentlemen, obey your marching orders. And in the same vein, preach the word is the preacher's marching orders, and he's to obey." This is why the Apostle Paul wrote these words in the first epistle to Timothy, chapter 4, verse 2. He said, "Preach the word, be in season, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." This is a critical verse for preachers universal as it demands a serious weight of responsibility. Every preacher claims the gospel within his allotted dispensation of time. It looks at a charge Paul gives Timothy regarding the preaching of the gospel and the times in which that preacher resides. The seasons in which preachers are to preach are never to negatively determine the message. The gospel is to be preached regardless of how hard it gets in terms of tribulation and persecution. The text encourages Timothy specifically, and all preachers generally, that the heft of responsibility is not determined by the circumstance of time. The word preach is kerusso, and it means to be a herald, the officiate as a herald, always with the suggestion of formality and gravity and an authority which must be listened to and obeyed, to publish, proclaim openly. Used of the public proclamation of the gospel and matters pertaining to it, made by John the Baptist and by Jesus, by the apostles and other Christian leaders. In the days without TV, radio, or internet, the king or the emperor would send messages into the community and they would proclaim it in the marketplace with the authority of the king. It was the public announcement of the message sent privately. The herald was the one who made this public announcement. Thus, it is with the preacher, and we are to herald the word he has given. Paul is under severe persecution for the gospel at the writing of the writing in this time. And time was running out for him very quickly. After this, the Spirit will no longer inspire any new words for the church, really, for he pens his final thoughts. The Jews hated the gospel, the Romans reviled it, the apostates were encroaching on the true church, but we are charged to preach regardless of the circumstance. This was to be the central purpose of the ministry to Timothy, the preaching of the word of God. The priority of preaching cannot be overstated, Acts 6 verse 4, 1 Timothy 4 verse 13. Nothing other than a holy life is to be the most important factor in the ministry. 1 Timothy 4 verse 16. We are to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, Acts 20:27. As Paul wrote, he fully preached the gospel of Christ, Romans 15, verse 19. The Word should not be permeated with sociology or philosophy or psychology or secular humanism or any other form of man-made ideology. It is most effective in its purest form. This is why in Proverbs 30 verse 5 we read, the words of God is pure, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Now the ultimate authority in the preacher's ministry must be the Bible, not his qualifications, his wonderful personality, his fiery charisma, the status of his finance. If the ministry is to be transformational, it must be biblical. And biblical lives are founded on biblical preaching, Psalms 119, verse 9. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, 1 Corinthians 1:27. The Bible has inherent power and is not static, but alive, and it produces life in its adherents. It discerns the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of men, said the writer of Hebrews in his chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible possesses a self-producing power, Isaiah 55, verse 11, and its authority is experienced in the pure proclamation of its enduring truth, Isaiah 40, verse 8. Ezra 7, verse 10, we find a model for the proper proclamation of Scripture. Ezra had devoted himself to the study and the observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. We must first devote ourselves. This means that we must enact our will to align the will of God, John 7, verse 17. Then we are to study the word of God, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Then to observe it, in other words, obey all it demands us to do, 1 Timothy 4, verse 16 again. And then to teach it, Luke 4, verse 18 to 19. A quote from Matthew Simpson reads, his throne is the pulpit. He stands in Christ's stead. His message is the word of God, and around him are immortal souls. The Savior, unseen, is beside him. The Holy Spirit broods over the congregation. Angels gaze upon the scene, and heaven and hell await the issue. What associations, and what vast responsibility. Close quote. Paul said this regarding this responsibility as well. Wherefore, I am a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, in Colossians 1:25. Also that he preached the gospel to every creature under heaven, same book, chapter 1, verse 23. Preaching Jesus, same book, chapter 1, verse 28, through the word of the cross, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. Without the clever speech in the wisdom of men, he preached Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 1 and 2. Not preaching themselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 5. When we read the Bible, we seek to find what the Bible says. Then we study to seek what the Bible means by what it says. Then we preach to seek men to do what it means by what it says. We preach the word of God for various reasons. A. We are commanded to do so. It is a direct command of God to preach his word and nothing else. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Jonah preached as the Lord commanded him. Jesus said only that which the Father has given him, as he said. Paul preached the word. Every preacher is a preacher because of what he preaches. He's commanded to preach the content of the word of God. B. It is the authority. The Bible carries a resounding sense of authority. It is the preacher's constitution and structure. He is not to lean on his own oratorical skills or his charisma, experience, intellect, or wisdom. He must let the Bible be the ultimate authority. These may carry a form of authority, but it is the word which carries the ultimate authority. C. It is the priority. The word of God must be the foundation to all life and ministry. Nothing is to be replaced. Nothing replaces the Bible as priority with the preacher. The preacher is not the priority in the church, neither are the elders, neither is the denomination. The Word of God comes first because it is the authority. D. It breeds biblical literacy. It is the only revelation from God that makes one wise unto salvation given unto men. The more our people know the Bible, the more they will be inclined to live by its commands and be open to its blessings. The Word declares, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 verses 6. E. It sanctifies. How shall a young man keep his way pure, says Psalms 119 verse 9. By taking heed unto the word. Asks a question and then it answers it. The mandate of the preacher is for the scripture to transform him so that he can have a transformed people. The aim of the preacher is to allow the Spirit through his inspired word to mold the people into the image of Christ. Let's look at this word, be instant. Be instant. The word instant in the Greek is aphestimi. Now I might pronounce it incorrectly. But it says this. It means to be ready and to be at hand. Robertson's word pictures tells us that this in the active imperative implies to take a stand, to carry on with it, to stick to it. This means more than just to be ready. It means to be ready to hold on to something. Be prepared to stick to it no matter what happens. The idea is of a military man always on guard. One who always should be at his post regardless the time, day or night, regardless the condition, sunny or stormy. Timothy was always to be at his post, taking hold of every opportunity, making the gospel known. There's a driving compulsion in the preacher, a relentless urgency of spirit to make known the gospel of Jesus. He's a man who is compelled to preach. Paul said, I am ready to preach in Romans 1 verse 15. Jeremiah said, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in Jeremiah 6 verse 11. Also, then said I will not make a mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of forbearing, and I could not stay, said Jeremiah in chapter 20, verse 9 of his great book. In Job we read this, I am full of the matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new wine bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer, said Job in Job 32, verse 18 to 20. The psalmist said, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue. Psalms 39 verse 3. We read also, so the Spirit lifted me up and it took me away and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me, said Ezekiel in his book, chapter 3 verse 14. The preachers of old said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, Acts 4:20. And then also at Athens, Paul says, the Spirit was stirred in him. In 17 verse 16, same book of Acts. Then also he was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Same book, 18 verse 5. Paul also said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. That's what Paul said, isn't it? For the love of Christ constrains us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Jesus said these words in Luke 9:62. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. And Peter said in his first epistle, 3 verse 15. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let's look at these words in season and out of season. The word season in the Greek is iokaros. Excuse my pronunciation. And it means opportunely, when it is convenient, a good or favorable, with no hindrances. And then, out of season in the Greek is akaros, and it means inopportunely. This word, akaros, is nowhere else in the scripture. It is the opposite of the word given before, as is obvious in the term in season and out of season. Here it speaks of the time when it is not convenient, not favorable, not good as an occasion to preach. When there are hindrances and difficulties and hardships and persecutions. When there was no stated appointment for preaching, or when it was embarrassing or shameful to do so. The call is above everything else, and there must be an accompanying zeal to fulfill that call. And Paul is under severe persecution for the gospel during the writing of this book. He's incarcerated in a hole in the ground in the Mamertine prison. There might have been the inclination of Timothy to soften his voice in that hour of difficulty. But Paul is emphatic in his charge. Be ready to hold on to the truth despite the surroundings, whether suitable or not, favorable or not, convenient or not, comfortable or not, preach the word. With the preacher of the word, there must be an innate pressure of duty by the Spirit, a consuming zeal that compels him to speak the word of God, a fiery passion and a burning heart to preach is every and very evident in the life of the prophet of God. When you preach, preach the preacher's preaching. Do not compromise to suit the social status of your people, the liberal views of the masses, the progressive mandates of your congregation or the world. Note the word from the psalmist: my zeal hath consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten thy words. Psalms 119, verse 139. Then also, I have preached righteousness in thy congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Psalms 40, verse 9. Listen to this profound verse by the prophet Amos. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken, who can but prophesy? And those are amazing words. Isaiah proclaimed these words: for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake will I not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burns. Isaiah 62, verse 1. Jesus, the Messiah, he said this. He's clad with zeal as a cloak in Isaiah 59, verse 17. Remember how when he was 12 years old, he was ministering in the temple. He said this when his parents were looking for him: wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Luke 2, verse 49. And when he cleaned the temple with the whip, the disciples recalled that the scripture saith of him, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. John 2, verse 17. Messiah said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish this work. John 4, verse 34. The soul of the preacher is bound to his task by the undying flame of zeal given by the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until all be accomplished. Luke 12:50. Then also, I must do the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. John 9, verse 4. As Christ had his face set as flint to the cross, so the preacher is to be zealous for the preaching of the same. The preacher's zeal for souls must be ever blazing high. We must never allow the fires of our zeal to die. Jesus said, say ye not that there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white unto harvest. John 4:35. Paul's zeal for Israel's salvation was so strong that he wished himself accursed for them, Romans 9 verse 3. And he also said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Romans 10 1. And his desire to provoke them that they may be driven to be saved. Romans 11 verse 14. He also said, to the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak, and am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 22. Jude wrote, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Jude 23. At the judgment, our zeal for the lost will be questioned. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, doth he not know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12, preachers be warned. These words here, reprove and rebuke. The word reprove is egleko, and it means admonish, convict, convince, tell a fault, rebuke. The word rebuke is epitamai, and it means censure, admonish, to forbid, and to charge. These two concepts of preaching are negative in the sense that they preach, they speak of warning and admonition. The preacher must reprove and rebuke. This has to do with preaching against sin. These are closely connected, but they have a significant difference. Reproof speaks to convince the mind, while rebuke speaks to convict the heart. Reproof has to do with understanding something is wrong, while rebuke has to do with conviction because you are guilty. To reprove means that through the scriptures we reprove by argument the error of the person. To rebuke means to convict the sinner of that sin. Adam Clark echoes the same sentiment. He says, the word in this verse rendered reproof does not imply this, but merely that one may be in error and needs to have arguments presented to convince him of that truth. The word also implies no superior authority in him who does. He presents reasons or argues the case for the purpose of convincing. The word rendered rebuke implies authority or superiority. It means merely that we may say that a thing is wrong and administer rebuke for it, as if there were no doubt that it was wrong. The propriety of the rebuke rests on our authority for doing it, not on the arguments which we present. This is based on the presumption that men often know that they are doing wrong and need no arguments to convince them of it. The idea is that the minister is not merely to reason about his sin and convince men that it is wrong, but he may solemnly admonish them not to do it and warn them of the consequences. Close quote. A sailor just off a whaling expedition asked where he would hear good preaching. On his return from church, his friend said to him, "You do not seem to have liked the sermon." "Not much," said the sailor. "It was like a ship leaving for the whale fishing. Everything was shipshape, anchors and cordage and sails all aright, but there were no harpoons on board." Well, Paul said this, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Ephesians 5 verse 11. Titus 1 verse 14. 1 Timothy 5 verse 20. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. We are called to rebuke with all authority. Titus 2 verse 15. This last phrase, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, is important. These two concepts of preaching speak of the positive side of preaching. The word exhort is parakaleo, and it means to encourage and to comfort and to strengthen, to come alongside. The word long-suffering is makrotumia, meaning patience. He must encourage with patience. This speaks of the preacher as he first reproves, then he rebukes, then he brings the sinner alongside himself and encourages him in righteousness with patience. He must be able to endure the hardship of being patient with people, simply because people don't change very easily. The word doctrine in the Greek is didache, and it means instruction and teaching. And once we have done all the above, we must teach them the scriptures, its precepts, and its power. Teach them to die to self and take up their cross and to live holy before God. Herewith is the work of the preacher. Heavenly Father, help us to preach thy word in season and out of season. For the namesake of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.